you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to take as our text Psalm 2. You know, I don't think we read the Psalms as much as we ought to. We have a lot of good material in the book of Psalms. Somebody says, yeah, but that's way back over in the Old Testament. But what was it Paul told the church at Colossae, I believe it was, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord? The early church still used the book of Psalms. They sang them. Of course, some of our songs, a few of them, come from the book of Psalms. But I want to take Psalm 2 and the first four verses as our text. Says, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Let's bow and ask God's blessing on this scripture reading. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've given us. We know it is very precious to us, and we pray that every day that you'd help us to see it as being more precious. We pray your blessing upon the words that we've read this morning, realizing that your word is truth and it cannot be broken. We pray as we meditate on this for a few minutes this morning, we might be built up in the most holy faith, drawn closer together and closer to thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read it from the NIV. I'm not necessarily endorsing the NIV, but it makes it real clear in our everyday language. It says, why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. This morning as we look at this, we see in verse 1, the heathen are raging and the people imagine a vain thing. People getting all up in arms, all excited and talking about the problems and the solutions and the way things ought to be and so forth. It goes in all different circles. It goes all the way from the barbershop to the street corner to the family to some churches, sad to say, all the way up to city councils and county commissions and state governments and federal governments and courts and all this. People get together in a rage and talking about how things ought to be and imagining a vain thing. What's a vain thing? It's an empty thing. It's something that won't work. And not only that, in verse 2, but it says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Of course, the kings are supposed to reign. The rulers are supposed to rule. But it says they set themselves and take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Who's the Lord? Well, it's Jehovah God, isn't it? Our Lord is Jesus Christ. And against his anointed, who's the anointed? That's Jesus. That's the Messiah, the anointed one. So he says these people set themselves and take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You know, we see a lot of that in our society today, don't we? Used to, back in the old days of the country, when people got together to make decisions and to legislate laws and principles for us to live by as rulers, they would ask God's blessing. and they would seek his guidance. We don't hear much of that anymore, do we? Oh, we have a number of inscriptions all over the doors and everywhere in the chambers where the Supreme Court meets. Scripture quotations and all, but I don't pay much attention to it. We have on our coins that we carry in our pockets, on every one of them, I reckon, says, "In God we trust." I made a minted a new coin here the other day, and it wasn't on the face of it. A lot of people got all up in arms because they left that off, but it was around the edge. If you looked at it real close, it said, "In God we trust." We honored God on our coins, and He blessed us as a nation. But we forgot to bless Him. We included God in our Constitution and in the documents of the Founding Fathers. One nation under God is in our Pledge of Allegiance. And God respected that, and He blessed our country. But we forgot to bless Him. You know, somebody said, well, America's an exceptional country. We hear about, talk about American exceptionalism. All the inventions that came from our midst. All the great scientific discoveries, medical discoveries that came from our midst. And people talk about, why is this country so exceptional? Some people say, well, it's the mix of people that go together. All the nationalities from England and the Native American culture and the Negro culture from Africa and whatever. It all melded together and it just made a great intelligent society. Well, that's part of it, but that's not it. Somebody said, well, it's our Constitution, it's our freedom, and our independence that generates so much ingenuity and inventiveness and that sort of thing. Well, that may be part of it, but I believe God has given us the blessings that we have, that God has made us an exceptional country, an exceptional place. But now we see just what the psalmist was talking about. He says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, watch this, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What does that mean? Breaking God's bands off of us. Well, that means that people are tired of the things that God has prohibited us from doing. They're tired of living under God's restrictions. And they want to get together and devise a better plan. And instead of being a chaste, a moral society, we want to devise a way that we can get by with immorality. Instead of behaving ourselves, we want to use abortion as a means of family planning. Instead of being responsible people, we want to experiment with mind-altering drugs and things of this nature. We want to take the taboos of the past away. Break the bands of God off of us. Do as we please. Enjoy ourselves. Live it up. But what does verse 4 say? Psalm 2 and verse 4. It says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You know, we don't read much about God laughing. The somebody says, well, I believe God has a sense of humor. I believe that God, is happy, and I can envision God laughing. I can envision Jesus laughing. The Bible says Jesus wept, but it doesn't say much of anything about him ever laughing. And the most of the time when we read about God laughing, in the Old Testament especially, it talks about God laughing at somebody who thinks they're going to get away with something, and God knows they're not. Someone who thinks they can improve on God's way, and God knows they're not. You know, we think we can improve on God's way and live an immoral life, and then if we get caught, why? We can terminate a pregnancy, they call it. Did you know that about 50 million unborn babies have been destroyed in this country since Roe v. Wade? Proverbs 6, God said he hated these six things that the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, feet that be swift in running to mischief, hands that shed innocent blood, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You think God will continue to bless us, living immoral lives and then killing babies to cover it up? You think God will continue to bless us with all the dishonesty and crooked business practices and all these other things that are going on? I don't believe he will. God is long-suffering. He's patient. But think about 50 million babies. How many people live in the state of Georgia? About 5 million. And that's 10 times the population of the state of Georgia. Worry about how many more the baby boomers are retiring now, and how many more baby boomers there are that are going to draw Social Security than there are workers to pay it in. Maybe some of those babies they did away with would have been taxpaying workers if they'd let them live. You know, Mary was found with child, and Joseph was not willing to make her a public example. And you know what everybody said, why? This idea of God appearing to her and making her pregnant, the very idea. You know, I've heard it all now. She could have ended her. She could have terminated her pregnancy, and where would we be now? Where would we be if some of the great doctors and chemists and, the person that was going to find the cure for cancer may have been terminated in infancy? Can't ever tell. And the psalmist said that God chose him while he was in his mother's womb. And we wouldn't have these words today if she'd terminated her pregnancy, would we? But that's just one of the things that's going on in our land today. The kings and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. We're tired of being told what we have to do and what we have to not do. Let's get rid of all these old fashioned religious mores, those Judeo-Christian confining principles that people have embraced. Let's live it up. Let's be free. What does God say? He's laughing. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. What does that mean? When you deride somebody, what do? You laugh at them. You make fun of them. What they're saying and what we're saying whenever we take counsel together and we want to break God's bands off of us and free ourselves from his restraints, we're saying that we don't want God and his Son, his anointed one, to rule over us. I heard a preacher say several years ago, Everybody wants to have Jesus as their Savior, but few people want to have Him as their Lord. Well, in Acts 2 and 42, I believe it, no, Acts 2 and 37, I believe it is, Paul said, or Peter said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Both the Master and the Anointed One. Well, I got news for you today. You can't have Him as the Anointed One, as the Savior, without also having Him as the Lord, because He's both. And what we're saying when we don't like His rules and regulations and we try to find a way to get around keeping them is that we don't want Him ruling over us. Look at Luke 19, verse 12, beginning. This is the setting for the parable of the pounds or the talents or whatever. But I want to just show you something from it. We'll not get into it. Luke 19 and verse 12. "He," Jesus, "said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Well, who do you reckon that nobleman going into a far country represents? I say it represents Jesus. When He came to this world, He came into a foreign country, into a far-off country. And He came to receive for Himself a kingdom and to return. And He called His 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." But His citizens hated Him and sent a message after Him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." We don't want Him telling us what to do. We don't want to be doing His dirty work for Him. That sounds a lot like people today. We'll break His bands. Cast away His cards. Do as we please. I got things I want to do. I don't want to occupy doing the Lord's job till He gets back. Well, I skip the main part of the parable. Pick up verse 26. Just said that he'd take the man that didn't gain anything and give it to the one that did and cast him into the furnace of fire where there would be wailing and gnashing of teeth. "For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Did the Lord say kill them? No, I believe He said kill them. Slay them before me. Beloved, it's treading dangerous ground to tell the Lord you don't want Him telling you what to do. You're treading dangerous ground whenever you begin to scheme and connive and figure out how to break God's bands loose and cast His cords from you. We try to take things in our own hands. In Jeremiah 8, verse 5, beginning. "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to learn. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Every one turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle," or turtle dove, "and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain." What's he saying? God's saying, I made my law in vain, the scribes wrote it down in vain, because the people are not paying any attention to it. They don't want it. Let's read on, verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. We ever seen a bunch of people getting together talking about what needs to be done and how they are ashamed because they can't come up with a solution? The wise men are dismayed and taken. They don't know what's going on. What's the problem? Look at the rest of the verse. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. We reject the word of the Lord, we're giving up wisdom. Therefore, God says, will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them? For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed the hurt of my daughter, of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. That was God's people of old. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed. They didn't know how to be ashamed. I was hearing on the news this past week that 5 states in our union have okayed same-sex marriages, and the 5th's working on it. Some more will follow suit. When I was a kid growing up, people have been ashamed of such a thing. Not anymore. If Sodom and Gomorrah came to a bad end, I say that if God lets us get by, we're going to have to do some tall apologizing to them. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. But we want to cast off the Lord's bands. We don't want him telling us what to do. Take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Proverbs 21:29. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. You better stop and reckon what you're going up against if you're taking counsel against God, because he's laughing at you. Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. God told his people of old in Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people will not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. God said, I was just getting ready to really bless them. And they walked away. They wanted to remove God's bands and loose his cords. But it wasn't for their good, was it? Isaiah 3:8. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. But woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. But people don't want the Lord telling us what to do or what we can't do. 1 Samuel 8:6-7. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. You know the story. God was king to the children of Israel. They wanted a human king. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. In other words, let them have their king. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Did they prosper? No. Isaiah 49:7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to whom the nation abhorreth. Isn't it pitiful? After all God's blessings, people still don't like him. Don't want him to tell us what to do. Hebrews 10:28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, God's anointed one, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, people think they can despise God and cast off his bands and take away his restraints and be happy, but God's laughing at them. Or should I say, laughing at us. In closing, I want to say that we can rest assured that God's ways are always best for us. Adam and Eve didn't think God's way was best. They thought they could have more fun eating the forbidden fruit. And just look at the ruin and suffering that it brought to the human race. Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to respect him, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. People don't call him God for nothing. He is God. Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good. always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded. Does it make God any better for us to live right? No, it makes us better. Well, that's our lesson this morning. I'm going to close with this, asking this question. Am I in God's way? Are you in God's way? I'm talking about in the way that he would have us to be in. Are we right with God? Like our slogan for this year, get in line for 2009. If we're not right with God, we need to get right with him. We need to take this thing seriously. Church is not a hobby. It's serious business. If there's one here today that you're not right with God, and we can help you to get right with him. If you're not a Christian, you need to be one. Place your faith in Christ, repent of your sin, confess that faith. We'll help you. We'll assist you in being buried with your Lord in baptism. Rise to walk that new life in Christ. If as a Christian you've gotten out into the world and you wanted to throw God's restraints away and do as you please, and you see now the error of it and you want to come back, we'll pray with you and for you. And God always stands with open arms to take us back. If you're subject, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?